Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Isaiah, the 7th chapter. Your Schofield Reference Bible, page 719. We'll be reading responsively verses 17 through 20. Isaiah chapter 7, verses 17 through 20. And page 719, your Schofield Bible. The text verse is the 20th verse of this passage. Let's stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of the Word of God. The Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall hiss for the fly that is in the uttermost part of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. And they shall come and shall rest, all of them, in the desolate valleys and in the holes of the rocks, and upon all thorns and upon all bushes. In the same day shall the Lord shave with a razor that is hired, namely by them beyond the river, by the king of Assyria, the head and the hair of the feet, and it shall also consume the beard. And let's pray. Father, we thank you. This is another opportunity to glorify thee, not only by our presence here in this building, but also by our attention to thy word as it is preached. We pray that thou wouldst find obedience in each heart and mind. We pray that you'd help us to listen to the preacher. Bless him. This special time of delivering thy word and his heart, we pray for a great ingathering of souls, so that thou wouldst bless with a wonderful, wonderful day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mrs. Howes and I had a discussion. There are other words for it, but I'll not use those words, about that chorus of that song. I quoted it recently, and I said, nor could the whole contain the scroll, though stretched from sky to sky. Mrs. Hiles reminded me in her loving way when I got home that I misquoted it. She said, it's nor could the scroll contain the whole. I said, no, it's not. I said, could the whole contain the scroll? She said, no, it's could the scroll contain the whole. So when you got to sing this morning, I said, we're going to find out who's right. And I found out that you're wrong, too. Now, don't get the idea. If I'm ever wrong, I'll admit it. I promise you. It'll be awkward because I've never been wrong before, but I'll admit it. When I was a little boy, I think it's not a little boy, and back in another dispensation. My daddy had what they call a razor strap. Now, I don't know if they have those anymore. You see, folks back then, we didn't have electric razors, and we didn't even have safety razors. They had those long things that unfolded like a big switchblade knife, and you shave with them. Now, before you shave, you got that razor strap. It was about size, about maybe 2.5 inches wide and probably 6 inches thick, it felt, when it hit me. It was about probably a quarter of an inch thick and about 2.5 inches wide. And my daddy would spank me with that. Now, it was hung on the wall and where I could see it. When I walked in the door, it was facing the door where I could see it. It was there as a constant reminder. And ladies and gentlemen, if you've never been spanked with a safety, razor belt or a razor strap, you don't know what pain really is. You folks that have cancer, forget it. I would rather go through the first half of the tribulation period than to this thing. Now, what I'm trying to say is that big razor strap was hanging on the wall all the time. My mother kept a switch on the dresser all the time. Not for me, it was for my sister. You said, did your mother spank your sister? No, I took care of it for mother. But there was a big switch, and it was laid on the dresser all the time. When I was in junior high school, we had a science teacher named Mr. Brown. I don't hate anybody, but he was the last one that I got hatred out of for. Anyway, Mr. Brown, he kept the paddle. This is back in the days when you paddle kids and they turned out right instead of not paddling and turned out wrong. So Mr. Brown kept the paddle. Here was his desk. Here we were. And the paddle was where the Baptist curtain is behind him. Now, every time he spanked you with that paddle, you got to sign it. That's where I learned to write. And I expect the holy all-time record of indulgence and fellowship with that paddle. What I'm trying to say is that the razor strap was always on the wall. The switch was always on the dresser. And the paddle was always behind Mr. Brown. You'll understand in a few minutes why I gave those little illustrations. Our Heavenly Father, I want to be a blessing today. I pray you help me to be exactly that as I speak to our dear people. Please help us together to be blessed in the Holy Spirit as we seek a truth in the blessed book. Amen. My sermon this morning will, I promise you, bless your heart if you listen carefully. Not my sermon, but my truth from God's Word. I'm going to give you a truth this morning that will make you feel as loved as anything, any statement that you ever found in the Bible. The Bible is filled with the gems of love. Of course, that marvelous John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. What a tremendous, that little Bible within a Bible that we love to quote and love to read. And then, of course, that wonderful statement in Romans 5:8. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners. It didn't say because we were righteous. God doesn't love us because of. He loves us in spite of. And so that's a wonderful passage. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And could we ever bypass, in talking about the love of God, that wonderful Romans chapter 8, verses 34 through 38, where God lists a number of things and says, none of these things can separate you from the love of God. And then he goes on to say, nor any other thing, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Doesn't matter how high you go, He loves you. How deep you go, He loves you. How far you go, He loves you. How deep into sin you go, He loves you. How far you drift from Him or even choose to go away from Him, He still loves you. And that's right. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the sky of parchment made? Or every stalk on earth a quill? Every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the roll hole contain the scroll. So stretched from the sky. Look, I'm sick, folks. Have mercy on me. That marvel written on a prison wall by an inmate, an asylum wall by an inmate. Wonderful, wonderful love of God. And of course, you know I love to speak about the love of God. And then today I'm going to give you a little five word statement that's going to make you feel as loved as you ever felt in your life. Now, it's going to be a while before I get there, so don't leave me as I lay the foundation for the message. God had been so faithful and patient and long-suffering with His people. For generations, Judah, Israel, the people of God, had been rebellious against God, had left the will of God, left the word of God, and left the worship that was so necessary in the Jewish religion. And God had been so patient with His people. Oh, that's one of the good things about God. He's a patient God. 120 years Noah was building the ark as God gave him a chance to preach and warn the people to enter into the ark. God is a long-suffering and God is a patient God. He had been so patient with them. Year after year, He pleaded with them. Read the book of Amos sometimes and read the things that God tried to do to woo his people back to himself. Little statement is mentioned again and again in Amos. It says, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. He gave them prosperity, and the goodness of God was sought to lead them to repentance. But the Bible, God said, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And then by his goodness, he even gave them famine, hoping that famine would bring them back to him. And yet the famine did not succeed. And God said, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. He gave them an abundance of rain for their crops and a bountiful harvest and hoping that would bring them to himself. And yet he says, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. In his goodness and desire to bring them back to himself, he withheld the rain for a season and a drought came. And yet that did not work. And he says, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, much of the things in your life are simply given by God to bring you to himself. The goodness of God, the punishing, the chastening of God, if you please, that will come to in just a few moments. Then God gave them peace, hoping that peace from and the hiatus from war would bring them back to him. That did not work. And so prosperity did not work, and famine did not work, and the drought, rain did not work, and drought did not work, and peace did not work. And so God gave them all good health, and they enjoyed wonderful, wonderful health. And yet the Bible says, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And then he even gave them some pestilence in order to make them realize they needed help. And the Bible says again, yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Now, finally, he must punish them. I want to say six things quickly. One, I said, he must punish them. The time comes when God's patience wears thin. The time comes when God realizes that if he gets you straight, he's going to spank you. He's going to punish you, and God will do it. Though God did not want to send the flood and waited 120 years of patience before he did, nevertheless, the flood came. And though God did not want to punish Israel in this particular passage in Isaiah 7:20, he waited and waited and waited, and he gave them good, and he gave them bad, and he gave them health, and he gave them pestilence, and he gave them prosperity, and he gave them famine, and he gave them peace, and he gave them war, and yet they would not return. And so now then, God has to punish his people. Secondly, listen carefully, he calls it shaving. He calls it shaving. He must shave his people, if you please. And he uses the illustration of a razor. In fact, you'll find that word there in Isaiah 7:20. The word razor is mentioned there. And God says, I've got to punish my people. And so he called it shaving. Now follow me carefully. I'm about to show you one of the most beautiful statements in the Bible. God goes to get a razor to shave his people. And he finds he has none. Don't miss this. He finds he has no razor. It's time for God to punish his people, but he finds he doesn't have a razor. So, let me read my text to you. In the same day shall the Lord shave with a razor that is hard. Do you get it? God is going to punish us, but he doesn't even own a razor. And so, what happens is this. He has to hire one. The Bible said he takes a razor that is hired to punish his people. He goes to Assyria and hires three kings to be the razor. Sennacherib, Esarhaddon, and Nebuchadnezzar are hired as his razors. Now listen carefully to me. Number one is, God does not want to punish us. God does not delight to punish you. Now he will, but God does not delight to punish you. Now let me say something. Young people, you go ahead with your rebellion, and one of these days you're going to get a shaving from God. And you go ahead, young couples, with your carousing, and one of these days you're going to get a shaving from God. And sailors, you go ahead and live your life away from God and enjoy the beer at the PX on the base, and one of these days, if you're a saved person, God's going to shave you. But God does not want to punish us. None of that. But God has made no provision for our punishment. He doesn't even own a razor. He has to hire it done. He has to subcontract it. He doesn't own a razor. Why? Because God does not want to punish us. He's made no provisions for punishing us. It is not in his plan for your life. And God has not even purchased a razor or gotten a razor, because God does not plan to shave you. And God does not want to shave you. And God does not want to punish you. I said, God does not want to punish us. I said God has made no provisions for it. I said it is not in His plan for your life. He does not expect you to need chastening. And if He has to, for your sake, He will. But when it comes to shaving you, He has no razor and must hire one. Ladies and gentlemen, we serve a God who has in His arsenal love. He has in His arsenal patience. He has in His arsenal mercy. He has in His arsenal kindness. He has in His arsenal grace. He has in His arsenal gentleness. But the honest, simple truth is, He has to contract His shaving because God has no sharp instruments of laceration. He doesn't even own any. And anytime God punishes you, He has to borrow His instrument of punishment from somebody else because God loves you so much, He's not planned to spank you. He doesn't want to spank you. He loves you, so He puts grace in His arsenal and mercy and peace and patience and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and kindness, but He has no weapon. And when God came to punish Judah, God said, I don't have anything to punish him with. Hey, Nebuchadnezzar, would you be a razor for me? And God used a razor that was hired to shave His people. Hallelujah. That's how much God loves you today. He has to. That when I was got out of the Army in World War II, I went to work for my father, with my father. My father was an oak floor layer. And so I learned the trade, and then I separated from my dad, and I was subcontracted myself. I go to a contractor who was building a house, and I would, they did not include, they didn't, the contract, please do not be leaving the service now. If you're going to come to church, stay here. Don't be walking out. And so the general contractor would subcontract the flooring. And I'd give him a bid, and I'd be a subcontractor because he would frame the house and he would roof the house. Sometimes he would subcontract that. But you know what it means to subcontract. When the Lord comes to spank you, He doesn't own a switch. Mama did. He doesn't. He doesn't own a razor strap. He doesn't own a paddle because God does not want to spank you. And it says He came and shaved them with a razor that is hired. Boy, what a truth. What a statement. He had to hire his razor. Now then, he hired three kings from Judah to shave his people. He hired Cyrus to shave Babylon. He hired Titus to shave Jerusalem. He hired Vietnam to shave America, and Vietnam was nothing more than a razor for God to shave America and say, I'm displeased with you. I'm going to let you lose the first war in history. And by the way, let me just stop and say this. A draft dodger hadn't got any right to send planes to fight overseas. You've got to send somebody overseas. Don't let some stinking draft dodger who wouldn't even get the army or the fellows overseas, and folks are shedding their blood today and planes being shot down today by a stinking draft dodger who's ought to be in the jailhouse instead of the White House. You Democrats don't like that, change parties. He used Titus to shave Jerusalem in 70 A.D. He used a razor called Japan to shave China in the last century. He used a razor in the turn of this century called America to shave Spain. In 1870, he used a razor called Germany to shave France. He used Cyrus to shave Babylon. He used the Assyria to shave Judah. And so when God comes along to shave his people, God says, I can love you. I have love. I can be merciful to you. I have mercy. I can be gracious to you. I have grace. I can be patient with you. I have long suffering. I can be kind with you. I have kindness. But time comes to spank you, I got to go to the neighbor's house and borrow his razor strap because I didn't plan to spank you. I don't want to spank you. Ladies and gentlemen, God's not some wrathful God up in heaven frowning this morning, hating you, wanting to get back at you. God's a loving God that wants to straighten you out. Let me suggest that you straighten yourself out, and God won't you have to borrow a razor to take care of you. The strap's not on the wall. The paddle's not behind the desk. And the switch is not on the dresser.
and God does not want us to make it. And he said again, he will. Go ahead, Christian people, listen to your rock music. God will be borrowing a razor from somebody. Go ahead, young couples, and live in your sin. Go ahead and read your dirty magazines and listen to your dirty programs. Go ahead. But God doesn't have a razor, but he'll borrow a razor. But God does not delight in spanking you. And in this case, it always hurts God more than it hurts the one that's getting the shaving. So, he looks this morning out of a heart that not only has love, but is love. And God says, I have no plans to shave you. I have no plans to shave you. You know, I'm not as godlike as I want to be. And I cry, believe it or not, I cry rather easily. But I guess I've wept more tears these 40 years about this than most anything. You know, that's the foggiest idea. How much I love you. And I stand up here and I'll skin the kids sometimes. I'll holler and scream and tell you you ought to get right with God. And I'll go to my study and I'll weep for 15 minutes. Because I don't like this cold. I'd rather preach on love than wrath. I'd rather preach on heaven than hell. I'd rather preach on the goodness of God than the chastening of God. Every once in a while, after school, my staff members. I recall one time, Brother Moffitt, you and I coming back on a bus from somewhere, forget where it was, and you really blown it again. Still, just last night, wasn't it, when I did it? We were coming back on a bus, and Brother Roy had blown it, and it was about finances, and you know you. When it comes to finances, the bill's got to be paid. And I remember, I said, Roy, you got to listen to me. And Roy's got to look. When Roy looks at you, he's about to cry. He looks mad. Like that. And I said, Roy, you've got to listen to me, Roy. You've got to do it. I said, man, this is God's money. These are God's people, and they've given their tithes, and they've worked hard to put them in the collection plate. You got to understand what I'm saying. We got back to the office late at night. I went to my office and cried till midnight. I don't like this cold. Anybody knows me well knows that to avoid a fight, I'll go out of the way. I said, Brother Olaf, you want to be in Fox's Book of Martyrs. I want to be in Guinness Book of Records. I'm not interested in being in Fox's Book of Martyrs. I don't like this cold. I don't like to fight. I've never started a fight, never run from one either, by the way. But I don't like it. I don't like to scold. I don't like to spank. And more tears have been shed in that little office where I have been for 40 years over the fact that I've had to scold somebody or preach hard to somebody than anything else. And our Heavenly Father looks down from heaven and says, I love you. I don't want to spank you. I don't want to scold you. I don't want to shave you. I don't want to. But I've tried everything I can. I've tried peace. I've tried war. I've tried famine. I've tried prosperity. I've tried rain. I've tried drought. I've tried health. I've tried pestilence. And yet, have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord? I've got to do it, he says. Let me go get the razor. I can't find one. I find love. I find grace. I find mercy. I find peace. I find patience. I find long-suffering. I can't find the razor. I love that little statement. He came to punish his people, and he said he punished, shaved them with a razor that is hard. Hallelujah. God says, I don't have any plans to shave you. I don't want to shave you. I hurt when I have to shave you. I thought, Wednesday, I called Miss Isles and she told me the news. I thought of David and his that age. I thought of how many times I had to spank him. I remember that first night I spanked him hard. I went to his room. An hour or two after I spanked him, and he was still going. I went there an hour later. He was still. I knelt beside his bed. I said, "Dear God, does it hurt you as much to spank me as it hurts me right now? Did you know God loves you? Did you know God loves you?"
Snuggle up into John 3:16 and say, "Hallelujah, He loves me." Snuggle up in Romans 5:8 and say, "Glory to God, He loves me." Snuggle up in Romans 8:34 and 38 and say, "Hallelujah, God loves me." And then snuggle up into Isaiah 7:20, that wonderful scripture that says, "He loves you. He's going to punish you. He's going to shame you. But He doesn't even own a razor. He's got to hire the job done. Subcontract the job."
What a God. He says, "I have no plans to shave you. I don't want to shave you. I hurt when I have to shave you." And then I think He says, "Please don't need it. Please don't need it." When I many times Dr. Evans and I had been in the office on a Saturday morning. Dr. Evans and Dr. Jorgensen used to be there every Saturday morning. When I many times Dr. Evans had read a name and said, "So and so has done thus and so," we had to expel the student. What many times I've turned and walked away and faced the corner with tears running down my cheeks because I don't want to expel anybody. So I wouldn't give you a dime for a mom and daddy that want to spank their kids. When I many times I've turned to the wall and tears run down my cheek and I turned and I said, "Doc, I've got to vote expulsion." Let me say this, you principals, you college administrators, you get the place where you can expel somebody without a tear in your eye. You need to go to the prayer calls in a while. Our Heavenly Father looks down and says, "Please don't need it. I have no razor. I'll have to borrow one. I love you. I love you. I love you. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. He loves you. Did you hear what I said? He loves you. He loves you. And everything He does is because of love. When God shames you, it's an act of love as much as if God blesses you. But He has no razor." Let me close with this. If God has no razor, don't miss this. If God has no razor, reckon you shouldn't get rid of yours. Critics?
If God has no razor,
reckon you ought to get rid of yours.
Gossips? If God has no razor, reckon you shouldn't get rid of yours. Slanders? Listen, you've got enough sins to confess of your own to go around trying to criticize everybody else. Oh, you long-tongued sisters and brothers have to criticize. Get rid of your razor and love like the Heavenly Father loves.
He can shave better than you can. And He knows when somebody needs a shaving better than you know. That's why He said, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." He said to love those that hate you, bless those that curse you, pray for those that despitefully use you. Don't render evil for evil, but render good for evil, He says. Look at me carefully. I can say this, and I mean it. I'm known as a hard preacher. But you ask that woman in the front row if I'm hard. You ask the folks that work with me if I'm hard. I'm simply saying, I've not wanted to hurt. And our Heavenly Father looks down and says, "I know how you feel, son. I don't want to hurt either. I find love, I want to give it. I find grace, I want to give it. I find mercy, I want to give it. I find gentleness, but I can't find a razor strap. I can't find a switch. And I can't find a paddle on the wall." He says, "Don't make me have to borrow a razor. I don't own one. I have not planned to hurt you." And ladies and gentlemen, you listen carefully to me. You listen carefully. It's time some of you people put your razor down. In a case, it maybe you ought to put your tongue on the altar if you have to, and make it bigger. But there's room for your tongue. Now, you listen to me carefully. I don't know a person in this room that doesn't love me. I mean that. I don't know a person in this room that talks bad about me. If I did, don't want to know it. I don't know. But I want you to know something else. It's just as wrong for you to criticize one of these men on the platform or just criticize me.
Put your razor up! I said put your razor up! Let God do the chasing. Let God do the shaving.
The God that... Here's what I love, and I'm going to close again. But I love this. I think one reason God doesn't own any razors is God doesn't want to get mad and all of a sudden pick one up and start shaving. He doesn't want to have it handy. He wants to keep one out of his sight, out of the way. So if he does spank you, he's got to go to the neighbor's house and say, you've got a razor strap. God will never whack you.
God will never pick you up and say, hey, you better bad boy, and whack you across the bottom. He won't do that.
He'll wait and wait and wait and wait and plead and give plenty and give famine and give peace and try war and give health and try pestilence. And then when the time comes where God says, I've got to do it. I don't want to, but I've got to do it. God says, I don't want to tempt myself. So like a fellow has a gun laying around, he might kill somebody, but you won't shoot somebody. Just don't own one if you're not going to shoot anybody. I'm not against owning guns. Like I'm for it.
But God looks down and says, I don't want to get up quickly and just whack you.
I was driving down the street here one day. I saw a lady with a big old, not a switch, but a limb off a tree, probably a half inch thick. And she is
whacking a kid and whacking a kid and whacking him.
And I stopped and I said, ma'am, I don't know who that boy is, but that's no way to take care of your boy. Then she came after me. I said, that's no way to take care of me either, ma'am.
But I want to tell you, God doesn't do that. God is a God of long-suffering and patience and gentleness and kindness, but God will spank you. Let me tell you, God loves you so much, he'll not let you get by. But
when spanking time comes, he goes to his arsenal. All he sees is goodness and kindness and gentleness and love and patience. Years ago, Brother Mel Rudder and I were in college. We prayed together every morning at 6 o'clock on the third floor of the Education Building, the fire escape of the First Baptist Church at Marshall. We were reading John chapter 11. We came down to that place where it says, Jesus loved Lazarus. I took my pen and wrote beside it, Jack, and Jesus loved Jack. And Mel put beside his Bible, and Jesus loves Mel. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. And this is the dearest. Jesus loves me. Did you hear that? He loves you. He has no plans to spank you. He owns no weapons. He owns no razors. He loves you so much, he doesn't even plan to spank you. But when you have to have it, thank God, he has to come to Nebuchadnezzar, the subcontractor, and sub it out, because God is not planned to hurt you. He loves you this morning. Teenager away from God, he loves you.
College student rebellious,
he loves you.
Young couple playing church, coming on Sunday morning, that's about the size of it. He loves you.
Truck driver along the road, he loves you. Sailor, he loves you. Dear friends, he loves you. Rescue mission fellows, he loves you.
Choir, he loves you, all but the bass section. He loves you. Wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love. Wake the immortals praying. Angels with rapture announce it. Shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it?
Wonderful story of love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Nor any other thing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Add to that a razor that is higher. He owns none. Won't you respond to his love today? If you've wandered far away from him, won't you come back? He doesn't want to spank you, he doesn't want to shave you. If he does, you have to borrow a razor. If this morning you're not a child of God, he loves you. Won't you respond to that love and say yes to Christ today? I hope you will. The goodness of God. The goodness of God. The goodness of God. The love of God constraineth us. In just a moment, the choir's going to stand. We're all going to stand. The choir's going to sing. If you're away from God this morning, don't let God have to go to the neighbors to borrow a razor. He doesn't own any. Walk down this aisle and get on your knees and say, Dear God, I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. Paths of sin too long I've trod. Now I'm coming home. Here this morning, you've never trusted Christ. When we stand, you hit one of these aisles, walk down one of these aisles, there'll be a man there at the end of every aisle. You say to that man, if God loves me like that, I want to love him. For God so loved the world, but God commendeth his love toward us. Nor any other thing can separate us from the love of God, but add right beside those great passages, a razor that is hard. Shall we stand, please? The choir will sing. Respond to this choir sings. Don't wait. Leave your seat right now. Don't give the devil a shot at you. Walk down the aisle and say yes to God while the choir sings.